Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hello, hello, my dear friends. Welcome back to the Diabetes Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Townley, coming to you from Billings, Montana, which is super dreary today, by the way, but I kind of am excited because it's totally soup weather and I know exactly which soup that I want to make tonight for my family. And it's that Olive Garden Zupa, and I just make it way better than they do because I add way more yummy stuff. And of course, I'd rather have cauliflower instead of the potatoes in the soup, and that makes it low carb. So totally in alignment with what I want to feed my body. I just want to throw that out there because I promise you that you can modify most dishes to make it in alignment with what you want, both a delicious dish, but also something that's good and nourishing for your body and won't jack your blood sugars up and your insulin up, right? So it's just the best, most satisfying thing to eat something that's delicious that totally aligns with your health goals. I want to come to you today and talk to you about a topic that came up with one of my clients this morning, and then again on a consult that I had with a potential new client right after that just really gets me pissed. Okay. So brace yourselves. No, I'm just kidding. But I do. I get fired up about this topic because it is enraging. No. It's just crazy, and we're going to get into it. But basically, what I'm about to talk to you about does light a fire under my butt. I do get kind of excited about it, and I might get kind of colorful about it, so just watch out. But if you have experienced what I'm about to talk about, you're going to understand why. So I was on this call this morning with my client, and she'd gone to the doctor in the last week since I'd seen her, just for a women's exam, and this nurse practitioner who she'd never met before decided she wanted to recheck my client's A1C, even though it wasn't due, and then proceed to tell her what to do about her A1C. And this client I've been working with is just about 3 weeks, I think. And we are designing and crafting a good knowledge base and a lifestyle that's going to reverse her diabetes, right? And I'm fully confident that we will reach that outcome. But this doctor wasn't. This doctor was not just offering and recommending that my client start new medications for her blood sugar, but when my client respectfully declined, explaining that she was addressing this through her lifestyle and had even hired a coach to do that, right? Like, hint, hint, I'm committed. This nurse practitioner told her, "You can't do it with lifestyle alone. You cannot reverse your diabetes with diet and lifestyle alone." And this pisses me off because of many reasons. But first of all, the nurse practitioner didn't want to listen. So my client felt unheard and unseen, unsupported. And on top of that, she felt judged, right? Because of the way this nurse practitioner was talking to her, clearly this woman saw my client to be uneducated, or AKA stupid, and then told her she didn't believe it was possible what she wanted to accomplish, which for a lot of people is dream stealing. So what is the purpose of that? And then also she wanted to incite a fear-based thinking into my client in order to maybe, quote, knock some sense into her, because she clearly is stupid, by reminding her of the fact that there's all these terrible complications that are going to happen to my client if she doesn't follow this nurse practitioner's recommendations. So she tried everything from, you know, discrediting and devaluing and doubting my client to coercing her and then attempting to crush her dreams. And I just thought, wow, that's so disturbing that this woman is going around seeing hundreds, thousands of patients and telling them that they can't do it, that they can't ever get healthy by addressing what's causing the problem. And then my client went in her chart and saw the note that was written, the progress note, and this note included descriptions and labels of my client that she was dismissive and she was unapproachable. And I've had clients tell me that their providers describe them as resistant and combative even. So I was visiting at length with my client about this because she needed to process it. When you have an interaction like this with your medical provider, you often feel bad afterward. It's upsetting. And that is an experience that you need to process in order for you to feel resolve and committed and focused, right? And that's a totally normal human reaction to feel disturbed and upset about this. I'm also remembering another client that I had recently who reversed her diabetes in just 3 months with me. And when she went to the doctor and her A1C came back at less than 5.7%, whatever it was, and she wasn't on medication anymore, she expected her doctor to be excited for her. She expected her doctor to want to recognize and acknowledge this amazing accomplishment that she had worked so hard to create. And you know what was the biggest bummer? Is her doctor didn't even acknowledge it, let alone ask her, how'd you do that, right? And for my client, this is really upsetting. She felt cheated. She felt upset that her doctor wasn't even willing to see what an amazing job she had done. And in that moment of her describing this to me, I saw her child self, this 72-year-old woman, a client of mine. I saw her child self just dejected from her teacher not recognizing the amazing accomplishment she had done on an assignment, right? Like, we want our teachers, we want our doctors, we want our superiors, our bosses to see when we've done a good job and to acknowledge and validate us. And not receiving that from her doctor made her really upset. And so, of course, we processed that. We understood what part of her wanted to be acknowledged. So I want to begin this topic after describing it to you, these experiences that you may be able to relate to, and I hope not everybody can. I hope that there are some of you that are listening that who feel very connected to their doctor and very supported to their doctor, but unfortunately, the opposite experience is more common. And I want to begin by just saying that it's not acceptable. There's no room for judgment in the exam room when you're with your doctor. You're in a vulnerable place, and your doctor should not be judging you. You don't deserve to be treated that way. That's really important that you hear that. When your doctor is judging you and degrading you and telling you that they don't believe in you, this is a violation of, like, basic human morals. Okay. We should not ever be treated this way, and especially not with somebody who we've been vulnerable with and trusted to help us. But again, this is a common experience. Why is that, right? When you think about your doctor or your medical provider, most of you would guess that they went into medicine wanting to be of service, to serve humanity, to develop the power of healing, to benefit their fellow human beings, right? They want to help. And I truly believe that most of the doctors who are working in the doctor's offices right now want to be helpful, they want to be useful, and they do want to benefit their patients. So why is it that they treat you this way? Well, I'll tell you that in their minds, their behavior is justified because they are trained to think that they know better than you do what's best for you. That is the first mistake. I always say that I could never know what's best for you or any of my clients. You know what's best for you. But that is not how we're trained in medicine. We are trained to believe that we have the evidence and that we are the authority on how to create health and how to help people get better, which is really interesting because what's your definition of getting better, right? Is your definition of getting better being on 15 plus medications, right? You might feel like crap, but your numbers look good. Is that the definition of getting better that we're seeking? Not everybody agrees on that. And most of your doctors haven't made themselves aware of what your goals and values are. They think theirs trump yours. That's why they don't listen to you. And their goals for you are heavily influenced. This is going to sound crazy, but they are heavily influenced by third-party payers. Okay, Medicare and Medicaid and private insurance. How is that even possible? Well, the reason is because there are, quote, benchmarks. There are ways of, quote, grading their effectiveness or their skill as a physician or a medical provider by metrics. So they're collecting data on patient panels and comparing them across to other providers to decide if you're, quote, good at what you're doing. And then they tie reimbursement to this. And it generates these checklists and statistic analysis that these doctors are trying to meet the expectations for in order to receive optimized reimbursement and even regard and esteem from their colleagues or their professional organizations. Okay. But they don't see it that way. They believe that these benchmarks are based on, quote, the evidence, which is mostly generated by industry, right? Healthcare has become an industry. They are a fifth of the GDP of our country. And so this is an industry that is making a lot of money. And the evidence that is shaping our treatment guidelines and our benchmarks for how good you are doing, how good of a job you are doing at meeting the expectations, all of this is shaped by the industry that produces and publishes the research because they have a vested interest. Okay. So that's kind of meta, but I want to bring it home down to the individual doctor, the individual provider that you might run into the next time you go to the doctor's office. They really do believe that they are right and that if you knew what was best for you, that you would listen to them, not them to you. So that's why they don't know what your goals are and what your values are. And they don't think it's as important as what theirs are for you and that they need to get all these boxes checked and all these prescriptions written for you so that when somebody goes back over their patient panel, it looks as good as it's supposed to. Now, not every doctor has this mindset, right? There are doctors that I've worked with that don't subscribe to this, but they're kind of cowboys, right? We're not trained to question the training that we get. We are trained to follow it without question. But there are people who are kind of like me who have left the system. And I'm thinking in particular of one in my community who just started his own practice, a direct primary care practice where he does not accept insurance. And he is actually providing a service to his patients in real time that he is accountable for. That sounds crazy, but when you go into these big organizations to seek your medical care, there is a lack of need to provide good customer service, right? That's just not part of the culture in those kinds of places most of the time. Okay, then we have this other big influencer that I also want to point out, which is how we are conditioned to behave. In the Western culture, we are conditioned to see our doctors, and I would say this is universal for older generations, we are conditioned to see our doctors as having more knowledge and more power than we do. We have been conditioned to have the expectation or meet the expectation that you're supposed to submit to their expertise. If you don't, you're judged as a bad patient. And bad could be resistant, right? Combative, unapproachable, whatever. We're also taught that we shouldn't take up too much time. And that's crazy because most of us are being limited to like 15-minute appointments or even shorter with our providers. Like, how is it possible for us to address this complex problem in an effective manner in 15 minutes or less? And by the way, that 15 minutes is including a lot of things you did not bring on your agenda because it's on theirs. And you're supposed to like answer the questions, you know, succinctly and not give too much information that isn't important. You're not supposed to ask too many questions, and you're definitely not supposed to question their decisions or their recommendations about your body. And so when you see that this is the kind of conditioning that we are raised with, no wonder it's hard to advocate for yourself. No wonder it's hard for you to insist that your doctor listen to you, or for you to decline what they're offering to you, because it isn't made in the spirit of an offer. It's made in the spirit of a directive. This is the framework that we're working in, navigating to find what we want and what we need. So when you decline respectfully your doctor's offer, their recommendation, the order that they want to place, the referral that they want to put in, right? They interpret that to mean you're a bad patient and that you don't need them. They can feel devalued, disrespected, unappreciated, right? And then that would lead them to do all the things that we're seeing them do. We see them disengage. They write unkind things in our medical record. They openly judge you. And they can even resort to coercing and warning you. And then a lot of times they're going to withdraw support because you clearly don't value them. So this is the mindset that's happening when you advocate for yourself in many of these doctors' minds. And what's more is that when you're successful in accomplishing your goal without their help, there's typically two reactions that I've seen in a pattern with my clients. The first one is the provider who is excited, the provider who is pumped that their patient has created this incredible, amazing result. They want to celebrate, right, with their patient, and they just want to know, how did they do it, right? If you get a doctor that is asking you how you did this, you know you've got a keeper. Okay. But unfortunately, the other reaction is more common, which is to stonewall you, to avoid talking about it, to dismiss it and with some kind of dismissive comment, and not to even acknowledge what an amazing accomplishment it was, of course, and then just move on. Sometimes they just want to get you out the door because you clearly don't need their help, right? And they have 5 more patients to see before lunchtime. So why would it make sense for this reaction of avoiding and unacknowledging your accomplishment? Why would that make sense? Well, because they don't know how you did it. It's the first reason. You are accomplishing something that they believed was impossible or even told you can't do. And asking how you did it reveals their ignorance to you, which their ego cannot bear in the cultural conditioning that we just discussed of this relationship. They're also often feeling impotent, right? Of no use. And to acknowledge what you did is even possible means that there is another more effective way to approach this problem than what they are offering to their patients today. And it's too uncomfortable for them to consider what they've been doing and what they've been offering is inferior and even possibly harmful to their patients. This creates a state of mind called cognitive dissonance, where you can't hold two beliefs that conflict with one another in the mind at the same time. So that would be like believing that you know how to treat type 2 diabetes effectively and that the most you can do is manage blood sugars with medications versus the belief that it's possible to heal from this disease, have a normal A1C without medications and lifestyle alone. Believing both of those at the same time, because they conflict so starkly with one another, creates this mental condition that is very uncomfortable called cognitive dissonance. And most people don't willingly go there. They like to see evidence that what they believe is true. That's called confirmation bias. Looking for evidence that what you already believe is true, and overlooking or dismissing information that conflicts with what you believe is true. And so that would be why these doctors react in such a strange, perplexing way when their client does something amazing, or when their patient does something amazing like reverses their diabetes and gets off their insulin. And so I tell you this because I want you to be prepared for it. I want you to be prepared for your doctor's reaction if you are able to reverse your diabetes without following their direction. And so then I'm going to invite you to ask yourself, what do you want in the relationship that you have with your medical team? What does it look like in your future? Okay, because many of my clients are feeling the need to go and shop and search for the doctor who's going to listen to them, who's going to validate and acknowledge and support them, who's going to think outside the box. But in the end, most of my clients aren't looking to have chronic diseases like insulin resistance that require frequent, regular treatment. They want instead preventative annual physicals, routine lab draws, and somebody they can call if they have an acute need, right? Like a situation where they have a UTI or a sinus infection, or they had an injury and they need some help with that. Somebody just kind of on standby. So if you can't or don't want to embark on an exhaustive search for the right one, that's okay. The last time I tried to establish care with my medical provider, it was quite rigorous, right? Like I had to go schedule the appointment, go and fill out a whole bunch of paperwork, meet with the doctor just to get all of my history and physical recorded. And I didn't really need anything at the time. I was just trying to establish care with somebody. And that person left before I ever saw them again. And then the next doctor that I saw, she ended up switching to just peds. She didn't want to see adults anymore. And so to go to as much trouble as it might take for you to find the quote right doctor, there's no guarantee that you're even going to be able to keep them. And really what we're looking for here is to liberate you from dependence on a medical provider and a medical system that isn't going to listen to you, most likely, and isn't going to support you in your unique, audacious health goals. And at least after having listened to this podcast, you can begin to liberate yourself from needing someone else's approval, someone else's validation and support, someone else agreeing that you know what you're doing, or recognizing that you are an amazing badass human that can do things that they don't understand. And you can just begin to see them as a paid consultant, right? An expert in their field with their specific skill set in their field of practice. You don't need to be regarded as a, quote, good patient. And if they call you a bad patient, that's actually a good sign, because you're a person who thinks for themselves and speaks up and isn't willing to conform to what's required in order to be perceived as a good patient. And I want you to be able to take the advice that your doctor gives you if you want to, and leave it if you don't. And that is the mindset that I want to help you cultivate, because it will actually support you in reaching the kinds of health goals that we are here to pursue and create with intention. All right, that is what I've got for you today. I hope you feel inspired. I hope you feel self-sufficient. And I will see you on the next podcast. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownlee.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.